This is Yusuf.
And this is In-Flight Entertainment.
Yes, and we are deep in the Women's History Month, Women's Month, acknowledgement of women this month. In this case, we're highlighting women filmmakers, actors, producers, what have you, during March.
Yes, so today we are doing Relic, which was directed by Natalie Erica James, who doesn't have a very big bio on IMDb, but she has directed this, and back in 2017, she directed Creswick, which I have not seen yet.
Yeah, me either.
And it's starring Robin Nevin, Emily Mortimer, and Bella Heathcott.
Yeah, that's an interesting last name. Yeah, I just know Emily from other movies and of course, the Newsroom, which I freaking love.
I recognized Bella Heathcott from Neon Demon, which is a messed up movie.
Yes.
Definitely worth checking out. She was also in the Dark Shadows, the movie. Oh, she's in the movie In Time.
Oh, really?
With Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I thought that movie was conceptually really good, but the execution just didn't really, just wasn't there.
Agreed. and then Robin Nevin, who plays the grandmother in the movie. I mean, she was in the Matrix Revolution, Matrix Reloaded, as Counselor Dillard.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Top of the Lake, which I think is a BBC thing. She's like one of those BBC or Australian actresses that you recognize, but you don't know where you've seen her from.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely remember her in The Matrix as one of the counselors because she was right next to, I forget his name. Some other older people. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. So
right. And I remember her from the BBC one.
Okay.
Top of the Lake. Yeah.
Right on. So what is this movie that we're reviewing about?
The IMDb description doesn't feel correct, but I guess it sort of is. It's a daughter, mother, and grandmother are haunted by a manifestation of dementia that consumes their family's home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, this is like the movie's, I think I've been reading too many books on Seelies, fairies, fae, for American folks, in that the entire time, like the beginning of the movie, I was like, oh, the fae are fucking with them. I've been reading too many books on fae. Because that's all I can think of.
Okay, well, enlighten us on the fae.
I mean, just because they kept saying, like, there's a window that was in the old house that they've put on the new house, and it's like a window into a... they weren't ever saying it, but it's sort of implying that it was a doorway into a different world. And they kept hearing things that weren't there. I mean, it could have been ghost or a demon or something, but the entire movie is really... it is a story about dementia and that how it destroys a family from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that the grandmother has dementia. And so her world is changing around her and she's starting to hear and see things. And the mother is in town to take care of her because the grandmother's disappeared for a couple days. So they find the grandmother and then she starts to be impacted by what her mother's seeing and hearing.
Right. Yeah. And it's kind of like this generational thing, right? You have the grandmother, you have the mother, and you have the daughter of the mother, right? Kind of reminded me that whole kind of generational dynamic sort of reminded me of Hereditary a little bit. Like,
yes, get, it has the same sort of music and ambiance.
Yes, yes. So pretty much while I was watching this movie, two movies were just kind of juggling my head. Hereditary and Babadook. Like, those two were just swimming when I was watching this movie.
Yeah, because, I mean, Babadook is a movie about loss, right, and coming to terms with that.
Right.
And this is a movie about dementia and coming to terms with that. And I like how that they graphically depict dementia in this movie, mm-hmm, in that it's the like rotting away of the, like it looks like mold or something rotting.
Right.
The walls or the windows. The grandmother has a giant bruise on herself, and that's sort of the key that's like she's rotting away.
Right.
At the end, we see that the mom has a dark spot on her, and she may be starting to see things and showing that it is hereditary.
Again, this is, you know, it feels like it's a small independent. I don't know if it's independent. I don't know the budget, but yeah, it felt small. It felt very, you know, slow. It was a slow burn, you know, definitely. It was one of those atmospheric, you know, films. It wasn't about jump scares or gore or anything like that. It was, you know, it was one of those movies, like Jenna would say, it's just like we see a physical manifestation of, you know, a condition.
Yeah, which, I mean, similar to Hereditary, there was not any really big jump scares. I mean, I feel like in Hereditary, there's a couple scenes where things crawling around in the background, similar to the Blair Witch Project, but...
Right.
But yeah, no big jumpy scares. It is more of the setting.
Right. Yeah, no boogeyman, no Freddy's, no Jason's, you know. Yeah, it's just more of an observation of, you know, these three characters, you know, trying to figure out what's happening, not only to, you know, the grandmother, but the house, because the daughter's finding out that the house is doing some weird stuff. And she got like trapped between the walls or something like that, like between the fixtures of the house.
That was a bit creepy, and that goes into me, like, into my fae world. I was like, oh yeah, this is totally a movie about fae. But then, like, halfway through the movie, I was thinking, like, the sound effects and the music that they were using helps set the stage. Is sort of that creepy feel. If they had changed the music and used more like sad versus creepy music, then this would be a drama. It's amazing how the music in the movie quickly changes how you perceive a film, whether it's creepy, horror, haunted versus drama, sad.
Right. Yeah, music changes everything, you know. It kind of guides you to what kind of, you know, movie you're watching. the daughter of the mother, what's her name? Kay's the character. Then again, you see her trying to figure out like what's going on. At first, Kay is kind of seemed like she's quick to write off the mother of like, well, she's, you know, we probably need to get her in like a, you know, someplace, or, you know, well,
in a care facility.
Yeah, she don't need to be our problem. Like, she's beyond us, you know. Have her to.
I don't think it's not that she's not our problem. It's that she's recognizing that if she, like, with a full-time job, And it just being her, like Kay and her daughter, that they can't effectively take care of the grandmother and keep her safe. So putting her in a care facility would be better for everyone, in that grandma won't wander off in the middle of the day or the night. There'll always be someone there watching her. And like being a caregiver is just so exhausting for those that have to do it. And you really have to give up a large part of your life to be effective at doing that, especially with someone with dementia.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. And then you have the counter of the daughter, Sam, Kay's daughter. She's more of, hey, you know, let's, you know, we can take care of her. Like, you know, we all need to, you know, she's more of like, let's keep her in the fold. Like, we can figure it out type, you know.
Right. And I think that comes, like, the granddaughter, or Sam, the younger, the third generation, you know, she's not as experienced as Kay and doesn't recognize that how hard it is to actually take care of someone. And so she thinks that, oh, if I just move in with grandma, everything will be fine. Not realizing that she'd be giving up a large part of her life to take care of her grandmother.
Yeah, and it's a big, yeah, this is, like you said, it's a huge responsibility, you know, watching, you know, taking care of an elder. Yeah, and I think Sam haven't grasped that. It's just more of, oh yeah, you know, it's fine. We can do it. But Kay really knows the weight of that responsibility. And she's kind of saying, well, and we probably need to, like, send her off.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kay is also trying to protect her daughter, Sam, and recognizing that she is young. She still has her whole life ahead of her. She doesn't need to be giving it up to take care of the grandmother. And I know that's very, like, a Western type of mentality, in that, you know, you just put the old people away in an old folks home. But I think it's different for people with dementia, in that it's just, you do need someone really aware 24/7 to make sure that they don't wake up in the middle of the night and wander off. Making sure that when people start to really go downhill, they do get violent and can, like, lash out at people around them. Not to be mean or anything. It's that they get confused and scared, and it's easy to attack those around you. So having them in a care facility allows them to be, like, protected, mm-hmm. versus that single person at home that may not be able to have everything on hand to take care of the person.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Now, there were a few scenes in this particular film
that don't feel like a dementia type movie.
No, it does. But I mean, there were certain, like, scenes. I mean,
with the grandmother's body folds in different ways.
Well, yeah, that too. But then also, you know, the movie cuts to this kind of room a few times where it was a man. Is that her husband? That's supposed to be her husband, right?
Yeah, that's supposed to be her husband, yeah.
Okay. And I'm like, okay, I think that's her husband.
Then right, who I think, like, had recently died or died the year before. Mm-hmm. After his death is when she starts to go downhill. But hence the reason why this movie could very easily be a movie about evil Faye.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I mean, the elements are there. But yeah, you know, like I said, the movie did a good job of, you know, giving you the creepy atmospheric stuff. Like you said, you know, the the practical effects of the whole peeling and stuff, that was, you know, that was
pretty. Right, like, pulling some of the characters from Pan's Labyrinth into this, and it could be, like, super creepy.
Oh, good luck. Yeah, no, I mean, like, Guillermo del Toro holds that crown, so we just go back to his stuff. like I was saying, you know, it dealt with a condition just like, you know, other, you know, newer horror films are doing, you know, like we said, like Babadook, like Hereditary, stuff like that. But you know, they're making the condition the boogeyman, you know. It's like, so instead of like a killer, it's just like, oh, it's the condition of this person that's manifesting and engulfing and consuming and devouring and destroying. So I think that's kind of like the new thing now. Instead of like having an actual slasher killer, is, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, life is scary enough. Why do you need to create things like Freddy Krueger or Jason to scare us when you have things like dementia or loss, depression,
trauma,
trauma that is terrifying enough.
Exactly. So. Yeah, that's true. The movie wasn't, you know, it's not a long movie, hour and a half ish. Well, probably a few minutes less than that.
I think it's 80 minutes long.
Yeah. It's not long. Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty quick. So our review, our on the tarmac review, because we're grounded and we're not doing reviews, will be on the couch. You're gonna chill out, watch it. It's a good viewing. You enjoy it. Putting your shoes on, contemplating going outside. It's meh. It's a meh. And going outside, meaning that I would rather go outside and catch COVID, risk COVID, people without masks, Capitol rioters before I watch this movie again. So, what'd you give it?
It's kind of put shoes on, but also sort of putting, like, stay on the sofa.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, the whole thing of the dementia storyline doesn't really appeal to me, but there's definitely scenes and parts of the movie that if she had made this, like, more supernatural and evil, wholeheartedly sit on the sofa, I'd be into this. But making it a grandmother, mother, daughter, dementia type story kind of has me more putting my shoes on.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that I'm not into that whole emotion bullshit. It's a beautiful movie. The music and the scenes are fantastic. There's not a whole lot of dialogue in there. That it's more of the interactions between the three characters that just makes it creepy as fuck, which is fantastic. It's a beautiful, it is a good movie. It's just not my cup of tea.
I'm gonna have to piggyback off of you. Like I said, when I was watching this movie, like, the other two movies just kept bombarding my mind. I'm like, oh Babadook, Hereditary, Babadook, Hereditary. Right.
So, both those movies are so much better that this feels like
like I said, to the credit of Natalie Erica James, she crafted a really you know, intriguing. Like you were saying, you know, atmospheric, the music was great. Of course, the three actresses were, you know, were amazing. And yeah, and the whole, and the practical effects were pretty creepy with the whole peeling of the dementia. You know, there, like you said, there were things in here that's worth watching. But I think as a whole, if we were to go into the genre of, like I said, the horror manifestation of, you know, the human condition, I would jump on Babadook or Hereditary before I, like, fire this one back up. I'm glad I seen this movie. I'm glad I did. And I would suggest it for people who haven't seen it. Yeah, give it a look. But like I said, I've seen it. It served its purpose, but I would. But then there was some things that kind of fell flat for me. Yeah. So yeah, it gets us shoes. Two shoes on one.
Yeah. Folks can find it on Amazon Prime. You can go rent it or buy it over there. But yeah, I would definitely, like, go support a female director and watch it. I think if you have family members with dementia, it might spark some conversations, which could be a good thing. My grandmother had a little bit of dementia, so it was interesting. Like, it made me think of the day I spent with my grandmother, and she thought she was 18, and told me everything that she had to eat the day before. So, wow. You know, it brought back memories. Yeah. It might do so for some families that are living with that.
True. Yeah, it's true. So there you have it, guys. Relic. Not to be confused with The Relic, the 90s, was it 1996 film? But yeah, just straight up Relic, that's the 2020 film. So yeah, check it out. You know, you enjoy it if you're into the genre. So we will see you guys on Thursday with some blood suckers. So then we wish y'all safe physical distancing and
keep wearing that mask.
Yes. Peace.